Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is Executive Director of Friends of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks, Lucas Herndon. He's been with the organization since July of 2012, and we're going to start talking about what are the Oregon Mountains at Desert Peaks National Monument for many of our listeners who have never been there or don't know where it is.
Well, currently, there isn't a national monument per se, but it's something that as a community we've been working for quite a while. The areas that we are concerned about and hoping to see preserved as a national monument are the Oregon Mountains themselves, which are the incredible granite spires that are east of Las Cruces that rise almost a mile above us here in the desert, as well as some other unique areas to the west of town and to the north of town, including the Doñana Mountains, which are north of Las Cruces, the Robledo Mountains and Uvas Mountains, which are northwest of Las Cruces, and the Potrillos Range and Aden Lava Flows, which are southwest of Las Cruces.
Now, this is a total of about 600,000 acres of land.
Well, it's if you measured all of the land from edge to edge, it would be about that amount. But the actual amount protected by the monument would be closer to a little bit less than 500,000 acres, because we have to remember that inside of some of these boundaries we have private land holdings as well as portions of state land, which will remain in those holdings unless something changes.
And currently they're managed by the Bureau of Land Management.
Correct. All the federal land in question is currently managed by the Bureau of Land Management.
Well, let's talk about what is the interest and what is the purpose of trying to protect these areas, and what is the beauty of it?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, these lands have been home to people for sort of time immemorial. There are petroglyphs that date back, at least culturally, as far as 8,000, possibly longer. And then there are other sites dating back to prehistory, before humans would have been in this area. We're also fortunate that in Doñana County we have an existing national monument, which is the Trackways National Monument, that preserves some of the really rare pre-dinosaur tracks that were preserved in some of the mud out in the Robledos area. That monument was formed to protect those specific tracks, but as a whole, it sort of embellishes what is out there in the entire area, entire landscape. So we've got a fossil record dating back to before the dinosaurs, as well as cultural historical moments that are preserved in different ways up through till today.
How did you get involved with this organization, and what was your passion to get involved in it?
Sure. Well, I've been a public land user my whole life. I grew up here in Las Cruces. I grew up camping with my dad, later on in life going hunting on public lands here in Doñana County as well as around the state. I went off-roading, I went recreationally shooting, hiking, backpacking, all the things that we love to do on public lands. As somebody who grew up here, I've seen a lot of changes in Las Cruces, especially when it comes to areas around the public lands that I love. You know, specifically to the east of town, there's a lot of areas that I used to go to that are now developed. And while certainly development and growth are an important part of a town's economy and the important things that we have to remember as a community that we need, we also have to remember that what makes Las Cruces special is our relationship with the land. And so preserving it as a national monument would ensure that we've got these public lands that are available and usable by the public well into the future, while at the same time sort of planning for that maintained growth.
Now, what areas you talk about, there's things that you can do at the National Monument, there's hiking, there's hunting, and if somebody coming in to Las Cruces who doesn't know how to maneuver or get around to find these areas, where do they go?
Sure. Well, that's a great question, and that's one of the purposes of our group as Friends of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks is to help facilitate people who are interested in getting more involved on the land. As it stands now, the Bureau of Land Management maintains two very unique and very amazing trails here in the Oregon Mountains themselves. On the west side, we have the Dripping Springs National Recreation Area, and there's a number of trails up there, the La Cueva Trail, the Dripping Springs Trail, as well as others. And then on the east side of the mountains is the Aguirre Springs campsite or campground and the Pine Tree Trail Loop, which are both pay sites that are currently managed so that if you go to them, you pay a small day use fee and can recreate there. And then there's other trails in the Oregons specifically that are maintained to a certain extent by Bureau of Land Management but aren't pay sites. For instance, Baylor Canyon Trail, which is a great trail that takes you across the mountains from the west side to the east or reverse if you choose, as well as Soledad Canyon and Achenbach Canyon, some of those sites. And then for those who don't know, there's also a really great 28-mile trail that would take you from at the base of Dripping Springs all the way down to the state line called the Sierra Vista Trail, which is a really wonderful trail if you have the opportunity to take that one. So, and those are just in the Oregons themselves, and any number of those trails are fairly easy to find if you were to visit the BLM's website or our website, OregonMountainFriends.org. And then some of the areas that are to the west of town, it's a little bit of a trickier concept to get out to them because at this point in time, since we don't have any kinds of protections, it's hard to advertise where those sites are without risking potential damage or criminal activity or something to that effect. So we tend to lead hikes out there ourselves with groups that we know and people that are interested. Like, for instance, if you wanted to go out and see the petroglyphs at Vias Canyon or Broad Canyon, that's something that we do fairly often. And there's also a number of hiking trail books and online resources that people can, you can just Google and find a lot of that kind of thing online, which certainly. But for those that are interested in getting out to see some of those very specific cultural resources, I definitely encourage people to try to track me down. I'm pretty easy to find, and we love to lead hikes out to those sites. So,
how many petroglyphs are there?
An unknown number, but well into the thousands.
So you definitely get to see at least a few hundred.
Absolutely. We were lucky enough to work with another nonprofit group here in town this summer, the Groundworks Doñana, which takes youth out onto the land and pays them for their work and their time, but also trains them in a skill. This year, we partnered with them and some other groups to go out and do informal surveys of some of the sites in the Uvas and in Potrillos ranges, and we're talking about untrained high school-aged kids, they were able to discover over a dozen new sites that had previously been undocumented. So that kind of gives you an idea of what we're talking about, the specialness of this area that deserves protection at the highest levels.
Have you yourself been able to discover, have you discovered any sites?
Well, I was actually on a hike where we, I don't want to say the word discovered, but where we, I'll say rediscovered, one of the cairns that would have been erected during the, just after the Mexican-American War, that established the boundary between the two countries, between Mexico and the U.S.
How did that feel?
It was pretty amazing. I got my degree in history here at New Mexico State University, and it's one thing to study history and to sort of love it and view it through the lens of books or maybe museums or something to that effect, but going out and actually finding something that people knew was out there but didn't necessarily know where, didn't have it marked on any kind of recent maps and finding it and knowing for sure that that's what you're looking at is a really moving experience.
What other groups get involved, especially with youth?
Well, we've partnered in the past with the Girl Scouts. Like I mentioned, we've partnered with Groundworks Doñana. The Bureau of Land Management themselves is charged in the 2009 Omnibus Land Package Bill to include youth and veterans more on their, on the land. And so BLM has been very helpful in engineering opportunities for youth to be out there. And as a partner group with them, we've done things like cleanups, small hikes, that kind of thing. And as somebody who grew up doing that stuff because it was fun, it's nice to be able to work with kids that don't always have that opportunity or that mindset to go out and do those things if they weren't involved with these groups. And then to see the looks on their faces when they see a petroglyph or go out on a hike and see some of the wildlife that we have here in the desert.
And of the groups that get involved and or the people here in the community, do you find it's a lot of local people or people who have just moved into the community?
I'd say it's about 50-50, honestly. It's a really good question. One of the interesting things about growing up here is, you certainly talk with people that, they have stories about when their dad used to take them out to this place or that place. But one of the ubiquitous stories you hear from people that have just moved here is that they came because of a job or because their son went to school here or their friend moved here and they came to visit. And I'm serious, 9.5 times out of 10, they say, and then I saw those Oregon mountains and I just had to move here. And I think that's just, that really is sort of telling about the attitude that people here in Las Cruces have about our public lands and specifically the mountains to our east, is that up to this point, we've done a pretty good job of managing our development and leaving them in a way that we can view them in a pristine sense and all appreciate them, which is not the case in some of the other bigger cities here in the Southwest, like Phoenix and Albuquerque and Tucson. And when you're in those cities looking at the mountains, you can see growth all the way up to the base of the mountains. And so it's nice that we have managed to do that so well here. And that's one of the issues that everybody sort of agrees on, is that this is something that's important to the community to maintain that aspect of our community, that the Oregon Mountains represent Las Cruces like nothing else does.
And not be threatened by urban sprawl or other everyday activities.
Sure.
Are these some of the, what other threats are there to the mountains?
Well, I'd say to the Oregons themselves, the biggest one would probably be unchecked or unplanned development. I really want to emphasize that, we're lucky that here in the desert Southwest, we've got a lot of space. That's something we have a lot of, is a lot of space and a lot of land. And there's a lot of land that Las Cruces can continue to grow and develop with without penetrating into those mountains themselves, into the foothills. And so that's certainly a big part of it. And then, and I guess you could say within the same vein of development, you have private development, but not necessarily in the realm of residential, but in bigger commercial things. So especially out on the West Mesa, as we continue to grow our industrial park area, which is an important, vital aspect of Las Cruces' continued growth, it's key that we protect the areas that contain these cultural resources ahead of time so that we can make those good decisions about where we allow that kind of growth to continue.
What cultural resources are you talking about?
Oh, well, I don't even know where to start. Besides, hundreds and if not thousands of years of human evidence through petroglyphs and other, flakes, pit house sites, that kind of thing, you have the first overland stagecoach line came right through here. The first major stop was in Mesilla. This is the Butterfield Stagecoach Line. It originated in St. Louis, Missouri, with an ending point of San Francisco, California. The biggest stop on the route was Mesilla, and after it left Mesilla, it went north along the river and then cut north just on the other side of Picacho Peak, where it went west across the plains there. You can still see that, the scar of that road to this day. Besides our efforts here locally to preserve these areas, Congress has considered creating a National Historic Trail out of the Butterfield Stagecoach Line. So that kind of tells you the importance of it from a cultural perspective. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we've got portions of the Gadsden Purchase lands. So to put that into perspective, all of the land west of the Rio Grande and south of about Picacho Peak here in New Mexico was Mexican territory after the termination of the Mexican-American War. And then 5 years later, as a result of the Gadsden Purchase, then became part of the U.S. So we have the original cairn sites that went along with the boundary survey after the initial thing. And we then have the resulting railroad that still runs today south of town that was sort of the purpose of the Gadsden Purchase, was to allow for a southern route railroad to move goods across the southern part of the United States. We have at Kilbourne Hole, a site that was used by NASA during the Apollo missions, where astronauts were trained starting with the Apollo 12 mission. All of the astronauts, so Apollo 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, and were all trained at the Kilbourne Hole site.
Is that open? That's open to the public?
Absolutely, yeah. Kilbourne Hole is actually a fairly well-known recreational site. It's managed by the Bureau of Land Management, but doesn't have any particular, fee site or anything like that. But well-known to locals for a lot of years. Definitely someplace that that people like to take their friends to go, who are visiting. And Kilbourne Hole, for those who don't know, is a very interesting volcanic mar, which is a hole in the ground, ostensibly, but represents representative of a huge volcanic activity at one point in time, and because of its geological significance, was used by NASA to train those lunar astronauts because of its similarity to the surface of the moon. So that's, to me, that's a really great addition to New Mexico's already interesting history with the space program, considering we've got, you know, a lot of history with Goddard and Tombaugh and, you know, those kinds of folks. So having that preserved within the National Monument, as well as all these other things, would really, I think, bolster that mindset of New Mexico as a key part of the space, you know, space race back in the day, and as well as our continued efforts today with space exploration.
Well, mining was a big activity many years ago. Is that still a threat to the mountains?
There's a number of open mining claims, not so much in the Oregon Mountains themselves, but to the west of town, both in the Potrillos and in the Uvas.
What type of mining?
Mostly surface mining, which would be like gravel, that kind of thing. But there's a few subsurface mining leases out there, but they have, for the most part, not been acted upon in many, many years. But those that are still those that are still in holdings, you know, if somebody does own those, the creation of the monument wouldn't affect those actual sites, but it would remove that land from additional mining in the future.
And how does one become and get involved with Friends of the Oregon Mountains?
Well, sure. So we've got lots of different opportunities for volunteering. If that's something that people are interested in, whether that's helping to lead hikes or to help table at events, as well as you know, we're a nonprofit organization that's funded through our membership, and so going online and clicking, you know, get involved, will take you to our membership page, and you can you know, submit your membership form at that point in time.
So you mentioned that there were groups such as the Hispanic groups and other groups that get involved, Hispanic leaders support. How important is that to the organization?
Well, it's been one of the things that I love about my job is that every day I talk with community leaders, business owners, just sort of people in the community in general who love public lands, really, and that's what it is. So it's been great. So like groups like LULAC and other, you know, Hispanic leaders that have spoken out in support of this. It's just a really wonderful feeling, both personally and as an organization. Our board of directors and our whole organization is so well represented by folks across the gamut. One of our board of directors is actually a PhD student here at NMSU who is from Mexico originally, and her personal relationship with the land here stems from the fact that there's not a lot of protected lands in Mexico, and that's an issue for her. And so being here and being involved with this case is just a matter of personal pride for her. And, you know, I love going hiking with her because she's so adamant about, you know, the wildlife. And it's a really wonderful feeling to see, you know, people who didn't necessarily grow up here still just get that feeling of how important these areas are.
And are these areas open all year round to go hiking?
Sure, absolutely. This is all, you know, public land. And people that aren't from Las Cruces, or even, I should say, people that aren't from the West, have a hard time understanding what public lands mean. And the way that the Bureau of Land Management manages land is so different than even, say, the Park Service or the Forest Service. Public lands are open to the public to do, you know, most any activities as long as they're not damaging. There's a number of existing policies that affect how we interact with land. I mean, obviously, you shouldn't go out and dump trash on public land. You are restricted from leaving an existing road or route in your vehicle. So, but there is a lot of four-wheeling out here, and which is a great activity. I myself drive a Jeep, and I like to go, you know, quote-unquote off-roading. The differentiation that I try to present to people is that, you know, responsible off-roading is going on existing trails where you see roads and routes already. Creating your own road or route is generally looked down upon, and if not, downright against policy. But you can go rock hounding if that's your thing, if you go pick up, you know, beautiful rocks or minerals. Hiking, birding, paragliding, geocaching, hunting, recreational shooting. I mean, the list is sort of endless. Photography, I should, you know, not just amateur photography. I mean, I know at least two different people here in Las Cruces who make a living photographing the mountains and other surrounding areas that, because they're so beautiful, people around the world want to buy pictures of them. So those kinds of activities, that sort of recreational opportunity is afforded to anybody, any member of the public around the country who comes to visit currently. And something that is hard to press home to people is that we're fighting to keep that as an option. We're fighting to keep these public lands open forever as public lands rather than see them ever privately developed or lost to development. So if you love our public lands and want to see them, want to continue to be able to access them, protecting them through a national monument is about the best thing you can do.
And do you see that as happening soon?
Well, I think we're right there. I mean, this has been an ongoing process, and lots of folks have had lots of different input and different ideas about how the management should take place. Recently, we've had the senators here in New Mexico, Senator Heinrich and Senator Udall, put forth a new bill that would create this as a national monument with new wilderness areas included in that. And so I think, I think we're close. I think that the community has spoken up. There's been, you know, multiple polls that show lots of support for protecting public lands. And then just sort of on a personal level, when I go out and talk to people, people have questions and concerns about the management, but by and large, almost everybody supports protecting the areas as public lands.
So to find out more, again, we can go to your website, which is
www.OregonMountainFriends.org.
Well, I really appreciate you coming out to Puentes, Bridges to the Community, which you have been a bridge to the community and the Friends of the Oregon Mountain, and helping people appreciate and maintain and preserve these beautiful lands. So thank you very much. Executive Director of Friends of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks, Lucas Herndon.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.